God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to be here tonight. And I tell you what, mercy. There's some fireballs around here.
Yeah. You have to hit that thing to make it do what you want to.
That's all right. But anyway, I always enjoy getting to come and hear the good testimonies we always hear. And then there's something about the singing in this church I kind of like. I like those old songs, too. The kind you can understand, you know, and you pick up on the words. And I don't mean I don't like a little fast one every now and then, too. But I like the way you worship God. And, of course, it's just been great to be in the house of God tonight. I started back to the campground, got halfway, and turned around and came back. I knew if I got all the way there, I'd probably call Brother Rutledge and tell him I couldn't come. I've got his Bible. He tried to give it to me before I left because he knew if he had, I'd have had to come back. But at any rate, we came back and got to be here in service tonight. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
To hear young men that purpose in their heart to live for God and serve God, whether it's in the aspirations of the ministry or whether it's just that good, sound, solid walk with God that people need to have, it's always encouraging. We're getting down near the coming of the Lord, and certainly we all want to be in His will when he comes. I remember I don't know why my mind reflected back when someone said something, one of these young preachers speaking. I remember one time in my life when I had a long distance call. I was going through quite a trial, and future looked a little bleak and uncertain, and anxiety in my heart. Apprehension on every hand, and some lady that I don't know to this day who she was. Brother Lumpkin, last night while praying, God gave me a vision. And she said, I just want to tell you about it because you were in it. And you were walking towards a door that was quite awesome in its structure. It had heavy chains on the lock. It was secured in a very strong and powerful way. And you had walked up to it, and you were trying to get through that door. And she said, I'm calling you to tell you that right in the midst of while you were trying to open that door, all of those heavy chains just fell off. And said the door opened and you walked through it. Now that lady don't know what she did for me at that time. But it was something that I'll never forget as long as I live. Brother Rutledge said, you don't have to push doors open. When you have to make things happen, they're not near as good as just letting them happen. Amen. And so the Lord opened that door and helped me in a time of need and desire to get in the work of the Lord. Praise God. God still opens doors. Amen. He still opens doors. I remember shortly after feeling that call of God. You know, I'm really trying to feel my way here tonight for a minute. I got out of the service and had two small children, my wife and I had just got our first home. It must have had 600-700 square feet in it.
Yeah.
Little two-bedroom house. Payment on it was $49.19 a month. So you know it was no palatial palace. But I had got a job, and I was going to Brother Joe Lane's church. Thank Joe Lane's been with you, Brother Rutledge.
Yes, at
any rate, I was real happy. And this is just coming to me right now, so I'm just going to go like I feel. Brother Rutledge, don't mind. Oh, you going to stay with me for a few minutes? And I was a Sunday school teacher, and the youth director, and my wife was involved in the church. And I tell you, if you're really ever going to be happy, you're going to have to be involved in the church.
Amen.
Whether it's sweeping the floors or maintenance crew or whatever, you really never will be happy unless you're doing something around the house of God.
Amen.
I believe it's necessary.
I believe.
But I was happy.
Amen.
Happy.
Glory.
It'd be nice to be happy.
Right.
And I was leaving that day to go down to the southern part of the state. I don't know whether I've brought this to you before or not. I've been here so many times, I forget what I say to you. And I don't keep good notes. And so, I was driving along, and I told the Lord how happy I was. Just talking to the Lord, just me and the Lord, driving down to the southern part of the state of Alabama. And I said, Lord, I want you to know I'm happy. Just want you to know I'm happy. I'm happy with what I've got. Certainly wasn't much, but had a job. Just got our first little home we ever had. And cost about $7,000-$8,000, something like that. And I was happy with my church. Happy with my pastor. Loved that rascal.
Really did.
Really did. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. But he's a sight. In fact, he said he felt so sorry for so many women in the world. And the reason he felt so sorry for them was because there was only one of him. You know, Brother Lang, it's just
right.
So, driving down the road, I'm talking to the Lord. Happy in my church, happy with my home, happy with my kids, happy with my job. Didn't have much negative things to think about, you know. Some people can wake up happy, and some people just wake up sad. I talk to people that literally say, I just wish I could die. Just wish I was dead. So miserable with life that they just wish they were dead. Well, I wasn't that way. Still not that way. In fact, I want the Lord to come, but not tonight. I'd rather have a few more.
Yeah.
I want to be ready, you know.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of things to be done.
That's right.
And I said, while I'm talking to you, Lord, I want to tell you about something I'm fearful of. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm scared of a hospital. I hope I don't ever have to go to a hospital and have surgery. Now, I've wore gas masks, and I've been shot at, and a lot of things, you know, and fired weapons. I said, but I don't ever want nobody cutting on me. That's just a little personal stuff, and just don't cherish the idea of being operated on. And so I get on down to the place where I'm going, and I get checked in a hotel, and the next morning I get out of it to go meet these other men to go to work on this job that we had, and I stepped off of the curb, and when I stepped off the curb, something hit me in my side and doubled me over, and I couldn't straighten up. And I had to walk back into the hotel, up to the hotel room there, and I lay there for several hours, and then I had to get word to those men I was going back to Montgomery, Alabama, that I wasn't feeling very well. In fact, I was hurting so that I got back. I went straight to the hospital, and a doctor came in and examined me, and he said, "Sir, you've got some problems." And I said, "Yes, I know." I said, "What do you think my problem is?" He said, "You need immediate surgery." I said, "Does that mean being cut on?" And he said, "Yes, you need to be operated on." I said, "When?" He said, I said, "Immediately. You need to be tonight." I said, "Oh, not tonight. Not tonight." But to make a long story short, the next morning I did go into the operating room. And I'd left and gone to see Brother Lane. And he had gone with me the next day. At any rate, I wound up in the hospital. And had surgery, had some complications, and for 10 days just kind of couldn't have been any sicker, I don't guess. And it was in that hospital, though, that one morning, hurting rather badly, and all of a sudden tears just started flowing down my face. Now, I had been in, maybe I'm saying all this for you preachers,
that's
young
right.
Preachers.
That's good.
But I was trying to get a hold of the will of God. I was happy what I was doing. I was contented where I was. But it was in that room, flat on my back, that I knew one morning through pain and tears and just the influx of the Spirit of God that came and impressed my heart that God called me to the ministry. I didn't hear any thunder clap, didn't see no lightning flash, didn't hear any voices speak. Was nothing mysterious at all. I just had that assurance that God had talked to me. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to take you on a little trip.
That's all right.
Might take a while.
That's all right.
I got out of that hospital. I resigned my job that I had. I was a district manager with an insurance company. And the president of the company called me in, rather startled that I'd suddenly upped and resigned because my group was doing some good producing and all. He knew I was originally from the state of Georgia, and that was my native state where I was born. And he said, I was just before sending you back to Georgia because I knew that's where you were from. I was going to make you the state manager there, Jim. Double your salary and give you the swindle expense account. They used to call it the swindle sheet then, those days. And I looked at him and I said, "Now, Mr. Stevens, you don't know how I appreciate that, that you think that highly of me and so on and so forth, but I wouldn't be much of a man if right now I were to tell you that because of what you've offered me that I really didn't have a call of God." And so I bade farewell to the secular position, and I resigned. I remember we got rid of our little house. We had a new car that I sold, and I had an old 48 model Dodge, 47 something. That was the kind that they used to call Brother Rutledge, the kind with fluid drive.
Right.
You never would get a whiplash for one of those. You could count on it. You couldn't spin the tires. It's good on snow. But old car had run well, you know, for many months. Never had a bit of a problem with it. But we had that car and a homemade trailer. And I was going in the ministry. And got this homemade trailer. Fellow lent me, and we put every bit of our belongings on it we could. And we went to Minnesota. I was going to go up there to Apostolic Bible Institute for 1 year, I thought, and so on and so forth. And so we bid all our friends goodbye and told them so long and farewell. And we started out. The kids had named that car, given that old car a name sometime before. They called it the Nancy Hanks. The Nancy Hanks, if you wonder where that name came from, that used to be a slow train that went through Georgia. And they named that old car the Nancy Hanks. And so off we took off about midnight and had not got out of the city limits until the old car started missing a little bit, but not enough to stop me. I was still going, but about 40 miles down the road, which took about an hour and a half, we had our first blowout on the trailer. And I just bought two new recaps. I didn't have much money. You know what I'm going to call this? The dividends of the Lord.
All right.
The dividends of the Lord.
That's all right.
And so I hadn't been out of the hospital long. And we didn't have any tools much. And so the old trailer was so loaded and the axle was so close to the ground you couldn't get the jack under the axle. And if you could have driven by there around midnight, you would have seen me and my wife under the trailer digging the dirt with our fingers trying to get the old jack low enough to get it under there. Finally did. Went up and got another tire and came back, put it on, got in the old car, got to the top of the hill, started out again, and it just quit running. 200 yards after getting the tire fixed. Coasted into to a filling station down at the bottom of the hill. The man came out and said, I said to him, I've got some problems. And he looked at it and said, you sure do, but I can't help you. Said, I can help you tomorrow morning. Got to get a part. You need a carburetor. You need something. Said, I can't help you in the morning. Well, I couldn't go anywhere. So he said, I've got a place out and back. Said, if you can have it for $2 a room. I didn't see Holiday Inn flashing up out there anywhere. That was for sure. It was just an old block building in back. So me and my wife, Jim, and Mickey went to that little room. Had one bed in it. So you knew how we lay on it, sideways, which meant my head was hanging off one side and my feet the other. And we spent that first night on our way to revival. Praise God. Got up the next morning and had our breakfast. And I went to the car and before you get to going back and you get to thinking and feeling some of these things, you know. And we had four boiled eggs. Fed my kid a boiled egg apiece. Got all filled up on that good Shoney's breakfast that morning. And have you ever tried to eat one of them without any toast or water? And so we started off and got fixed. Found out later the man double charged me. I didn't have much over $100 in my pocket to begin with. But we started down the highway, and about 15, 20 miles down the highway, somebody kept blowing their horn at me. I'd ignore it, you know. And finally he got a chance, two or three times he did that, and finally got a chance to come up beside me, and he blowed the horn. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to pull over and see what this is all about. And I pulled over, and the man pulled in behind me. He got up. He said, Mister, said, you've got stuff scattered down the highway for 15 miles. Evidently, that old trailer tarp and something else had come off of it, and away whatever was gone. Anyway, my wife said, are we going back? I said, not on your life. If I ever turn this thing around, I'll never get it turned back around again. I don't know what blew off that trailer to this day. Several very critical parts. I do remember we had a table with only three legs on it later on. But nonetheless, The old gas gauge had never messed up before, and it's the entirety of our ownership of the old vehicle. But at midnight, showed a quarter of a tank, ran out of gas. I don't know why I'm bringing all these little things together, but they'd be good for somebody.
Yeah.
Just thinking about preaching, which I'm glad you're thinking about preaching. The greatest calling in all the world. But it's not all Buicks and fried chicken. And so, got the gas, left the wife and kids in the car and hitchhiked to the next town, got the gas and got back and started out again. And somewhere up in Illinois, that old car began to miss. Have you ever heard a car need a valve job real bad on a flathead six? It's like it's belching. And it got had a little old dog, little Boston Bulldog kids had for some time, and he was in the car, and every time that thing would spit, it'd hit the floorboard. Scared to death. And we'd go through these towns, and it got so bad when we'd go through these little towns, our kids would bow their heads so nobody would see them in the car. And I remember one town we went through, that thing backfired and belched at the same time, and the dog jumped out the window of the car. Oh, Lord. On my way to revival. And so we got out, chased that thing down. Start out again, got up northern Illinois, and finally just quit. Found an old fellow there out in this little small area there somewhere in Illinois. Said he would fix my car. I asked him if I could help him. I said, I don't have much money. If you let me help you, it would sure mean a lot. And so he said, yeah, you can help me. And so for 2 days, I helped him do that valve job on that car and got through and got ready to pay him. He said, oh yes, you worked 2 days. And he credited me with $2. I knew I didn't know much about mechanics, but dear Lord, just washing parts ought to have been much worth more than $2. $2 credit. 2 or 3 blowouts later, we arrived where we were going. And I remember I wasn't the most excited fella. I wasn't that happy fella who was talking to the Lord a few weeks before.
I see.
I had landed. I had both feet on the ground again.
Yeah.
I had landed. And I don't mean that I was about to turn around and go back or anything else, but I never knew that a job looked so good and a little house looked so good and some scrambled eggs with some bread and milk to go with it looked so good. It just looked different, you know. Well, I had to find me a job in this place I landed, and right away I had to find one. And so we got there on a Saturday and in church on Sunday, and so I went downtown St. Paul, Minnesota, and I got me a job washing dishes in a restaurant. And it paid $1.25 an hour. And the man said at the agency that got me the job, said, I think I could get you something a little better. You've got a little experience in a few other things. I said, no, that won't work. This is the one that's going to have to work for me because it's part-time and I can do that. So I took the job washing dishes in a restaurant. And I took it and was to go to work the next day. And on my way back to our little basement flat, and it was a flat, you could fish in it when it rained, my wife told me, she said, honey, pull over right here. And I pulled over to the curb there. I said, what do you want? She said, I feel like you need to go in there asked that man for a job. And I looked to see what in there was. I hadn't even looked. And it was a company called Hetfield Queenan, and it was a Dodge Plymouth agency. Dodge Plymouth. I didn't have a whole lot of faith in Dodges at that time, you know. I said, "What do you want me to do? You feel like I need to go?" She said, "I'm just telling you, I just feel impressed to ask you to go in there and inquire about a job." So I said to her, "I don't know anything about automobiles. That's obvious from this past trip." She said, "I know that. I'm just telling you what I feel." I went in and met the general manager of that place. And it was an old company. Old timers been there for years. And he invited me in the office, asked if he could help me. And I said, "Yes, sir. I'm my wife told me to come in here. And I'm in here, and I'm asking, I suppose, sir, for a job." He said, "Well, this, you're asking for a job. Are you familiar with the automobile new car business and this?" I said, "Oh, no, sir. No, I'm not familiar at all with it." He said, "Well, why in here? This is a rather old company, a very reputable company." I said, "I don't know why I'm here at all, sir. I'm just in here." He said, "Well, man, this is rather strange." I said, "It is. It's quite strange." And he went ahead and spent about an hour talking with me. And I left. He said, "Call me back sometime." And that was just the old typical brush off. I left, went on back home, and I had a feeling that I should wait a little while before I went to work. I had an option on waiting a week or so before starting in with the dishwashing. And so I waited, had just a few dollars left. In fact, when that next Sunday rolled around, I had $5 left in my pocket. And in the meantime, I had called that man back, and he had called me. And when I went in, he told me, he said, "You know, I've never done anything like this in my life, but I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to give you a job." And he went ahead to tell me what he was going to pay me. He said, didn't tell me, he had told me what the others had made $300 a month at the time. They were furnished a car, and I talked to my wife, we had decided he'd give me half that much, you know, we'd make it all right. And so I said, "Oh, by the way, Mr. Carter, about that pay, I was going to say, half of what you're giving them." He said, "Oh, didn't I explain that to you?" I said, "Oh, yes, sir, you told me about the men that, what they get." He said, "That's what you'll get." He knew I was just going to be part-time. I almost said, "Praise the Lord," to him, you know, like right quick. But at any rate, that Sunday rolled around. There was a visiting preacher there in that church that day. And I remember knew that I had, when they said he's going to take an offering for him, I knew I had $5. But I knew that $5, God wouldn't expect me to give that $5. That was my last $5. I had it down between my Social Security card and my driver's license. And nobody knew where it was, except the Lord. The closer they got there, the more miserable I became. And when the ushers got right there, yes, I did what anybody else would have done here. I guess I reached down, got my $5, and I put it in the offering plate. This man at the dealership had said to me, "You know, if you could just sell 6 or 7 of these cars a month, we'll be very happy with you. If you just do that. We got a lot of old men been here for years, and you're going to have a tough time." But he said, "If you can sell 6 or 7. Well, I put my $5 in the offering. I left and went to my day's work there that next week. And I went back in the restroom, the washroom, and I prayed. And I said, "Now, God, you know I don't know nothing about this. And I'm in a strange place, a strange town. I'm really starting out in your business, but you're going to have to help me. So I walked out of there and walked out on that big, huge floor, and every one of these fellas had an office of their own. The two oldest men had theirs right by the front door, where when somebody walked in, they were there together. There was nothing. All I had was a big space to walk around. They'd already heard about me. They called me Sky Pilot.
Yeah.
And associated me with flying angels and all that. The preacher man, you know, and all kind of things.
Yeah.
But I went around, tried to be friendly, speak to all of them. You know how you said, just a grunt, you know. They didn't like me. So I was wandering around, and it just so happened I was walking right by the front door where people come in when somebody walked in. And I happened to be standing there, and neither one of these men at their desk on each side of the door, the old timers, could get up, and I just happened to be there, you know. And I stuck out my hand and said, "How you do, sir? How are you?" So on. So said, "I'd like to see a new Dodge." And I just happened to be there.
Yeah.
I said, "Sure. Come with me, you know." And here we go. I walked down to the car. I don't know what to do. I just opened the door and I said, "Smell." Sweated and went to the office with him. And to make a long story short, I wrote an order. We got a $100 deposit and had sold my first Dodge automobile. And I walked to the door with him and told him goodbye. And when he went out the door, another man walked right there. And I'm standing there.
You have me.
I talked to him. "I'd like to see a car." And I said, "Yes, sir." Open it up. Raise the hood. To the office. Worked the first time. That's all I knew, you know. And I remember it. About an hour later, I had an order, $100 deposit, and I had not even got into the manager. I knew what they would do. He'd give me a little information on a card there, what they'd sell these things for, and I had what they said they would. Always got the very cheapest price they said they'd take, and that's what I'd offer them. I'd just shoot them the lowest price. And so I walked to the door with him, and I remember it was 3:00. At 3:00, I walked to the door with him and thanked him and told him goodbye. And this is no fairy tale. This is the truth. You know, I got to thinking that maybe I left something for God, you know, or whatever. But he said, "I'd like to see a car." And I said, "Yes, sir." Smell. At 4:00 that afternoon, I walked to the door with that man and had sold my third Dodge. Had the order in my pocket. One in this pocket, one in the hip pocket. And these guys are going wild. Wow. And so I walked to the door with him. I thanked him. I was about ready to start praying for him when they went out. And he went out the door. And another man walked in.
guy shoot his hand. I'd like to see a car.
And you're right.
Well, get
that's right. And went to the office. And just about on the hour, 5 o'clock, went to the door, told him goodbye. I had 4 orders in my pocket. And those men sitting by that door were just going out of their minds, you know. Here's a novice. And I took him to the door. I bid him farewell. You're right. The 5th man walked through the door. Right then. I took him around the horn. I did the smell, the kick, the truck, and the hood. And I sold him the 5th automobile. New one. And I remember I was exhausted. I was emotionally drained. And I went to the office where the general manager was. And I pulled one out of this pocket and I pulled one out of that pocket. And orders were hanging out everywhere. He said, "My Lord," he said, "that's unusual." He said, "What are you fixing to do now?" I said, "I'm going home." I said, "I'm exhausted." And I went home and I went to that little basement flat and I picked up my Bible and I opened it at random and just did this. Ever done that before? And would you believe when I opened it, my finger fell on the scripture where Peter said, "Lord, lo, we have left all to follow thee." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Peter, there is no man that hath left houses or lands or mothers or fathers or sisters or brothers for my sake and the gospel's, but that he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time," the Bible says, "houses and lands and mothers and fathers and sisters and brethren," and on it goes. And I remember how I began to pray that afternoon and reminiscing, of course, in the past and the little job security and all of that and the struggle to get there and even the desire maybe down deep in the heart to go back. And then I also thought about that blessing of giving. I couldn't help but associate that $5 with those 5 automobiles that day. And I just said to myself, "Lord, that's the dividends of the Lord."
Hallelujah.
The dividends of the Lord. But did you know something? There's just no way to get any kind of a dividend without an investment.
Right.
You don't get dividends without investments. I remember the first year after I was out of service and saw that little brown envelope with the blue enclosure, and I knew I was hearing from Uncle Sam, and I opened it up and pulled out a check, and it was for about $80, and I looked down at the bottom and it said INSDIV. And right away I knew I had got the first dividend of any kind I'd ever gotten. And got it for years. As the insurance began to go up, of course it stopped, but I was so thankful I kept that insurance. If I hadn't invested in it, I'd have never got anything out of it. Now, God has all kind of blessings for His people. Now, He may not always line your pockets with silver, although He does promise us in His Word and associates with His Word a shall by the word giving.
Amen.
You know, and life and death hang on that little verb shall in the Word of God. There's a shall in the Word of God for the giver.
Amen.
"Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give to your bosom. For with the same that ye measure withal, it shall be." So there are dividends that God has in the financial area of our lives, but there won't be any without investing. Praise God. God's got no part of a blessing anywhere for anybody that chokes a buffalo to death on a nickel.
Amen.
But he does for the... That's why I said he loved the cheerful giver, Brother Rutledge. God has dividends for the giver. Praise God. But there's got to be an investment. Now, in giving, if all we're expecting is a return from it, I don't think we can anticipate a great deal. But at the same time, as I just said, he may not line our pockets with silver. He may not do that, but he might save our children. He might fill them with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
He might let them see the truth. He might let them grow up to be a missionary, a preacher, a worker in God's house or whatever. But God has dividends. He's got them.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Mercy. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the Bible tells us. And he still sets up rulers and kingdoms and potentates and powers. He's got it all in his hands, and he's got it under control, and he's able to give to whomsoever he will. But he always looks for that individual that's going to put something in it.
Hallelujah.
Lord, God has spiritual dividends. He does. Praise the Lord. He's got them. Our brother preached a little bit about it tonight. He's got revival. He's got the outpouring of the Spirit. I don't believe the days of revival are over. Hallelujah. I believe we've got more message to preach about than just a few little simple things of this world. There are hungry people out there. Praise God. But somebody's got to put something into it. Glory to God. But he's got those dividends. Hallelujah. He's got financial dividends, and he's got spiritual dividends, and he's got healing dividends. Praise the Lord. God still heals. Amen. There's a shall again in the Word of God for the sick. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. If they've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. There are dividends in the Word of God for people that need healing. But there's also got to be investments made. Hallelujah. There's got to be investments made. You just don't get a whole lot in this world for nothing. Praise God.
Lord,
there's got to be investments put into it. There's going to be a new church out of this congregation right here in days to come. It's going to be. I don't know where it might be located. I don't know what the future might hold for it, but you just announced today, tonight, a little activity that's going to be going on. And it involves everybody, really. Everybody gets involved in it, and everybody puts something in it. There'll be an investment made. And when the investment's made, the dividend will come. God's just chosen that way. Hallelujah. He just never promised that he's going to let TWA airplanes fly over and drop down bundles of gold that have just been picked up from Fort Knox. It just don't work that way. You just get what you put into it. I get in my life what I put in it from a financial realm. I get it from a spiritual realm. I get it from a healing realm. Praise God. If I'm going to be the kind of a preacher I ought to be and I need to be and I want to be, I've got to put something in it. Hallelujah. I've got to be able, praise God, to sacrifice a little bit in my life. There will be some basement flats, and there will be some dry, boiled eggs, and it won't always be just what we would really like for it to be, but there's got to be an investment made.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when the investment is made, and the Spirit of God is in our life like it ought to be, and we've got our feet on the ground, walking with God, hallelujah, not in an abnormal way, just a normal way, praise God.
Amen.
Lord, God's not looking for abnormality. Most cases, those are invalids. He's looking for people that just walk with Him. Praise God in a way that's normal. I'm not talking about now that you don't need to pray with all your heart and seek God, have revival. Amen. When the miniskirt came out, I couldn't stand it.
In like manner, I couldn't take the others and rub the ground. Look so dirty and nasty all the time.
I just wanted our women to look normal.
That's right. That's right.
Modest. Praise God.
You're doing all right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know that this church is established on the truth of God's word. I know for years and years the truth has been poured out here. And the church here represents it. You look like apostolics. I believe you act like apostolics. And you desire to be like apostolics. All you have to do to add to the apostolics is to invest in His kingdom. Financially, spiritually, in every way. Hallelujah. And God will give the dividend. He'll give the dividend. And not if I sit around and do 6% of nothing. That's exactly what He'll do. For with the same measure that ye put out, it shall be given back the same way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the old Nancy Hanks. Thank God for the old room with the boiled eggs. Thank God for the day and picking up Nikki that day in my arms when I knew she was dying. You say, how can you thank God for that? He was just kind of leading me a little bit. But as sure as I'm standing here, she was rushing back that little old room. I told you this, I think, but laying her on that bed. She'd been born with a kidney deficiency, fever would rage. We just knew for sure that her brain would be burnt up before she ever got to be a 4 or 5 year old girl. Prayer was made over and over. And I remember that day laying on that bed. Me on one side, my wife on the other, my boy at the foot. Oh man, I needed a dividend. I needed a dividend. I really needed a dividend.
Fortunately enough, Brother Rutledge, I had made a few investments. And because of a gracious God, hallelujah, He lit up that room. He lit it up, literally. I might have been the only one that saw it, but it was like the noonday sun. And He came down and He touched her with a dividend. A healing dividend. He's no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who it is, who we are, or where we come from. He's got him. He's got him. He's got him.
Thank you.
Sometimes calamity comes and tragedy befalls us. Unexpected bolts out of the heavens. Hearts are shattered. Broken through different areas of tragedy. And I'm here to tell you, in spite of all of that, if you'll just keep investing.
Yeah,